is what you get. I'm here today to preach for decision, not for exhibition. I only know about two things. I know how to preach to get people saved. That's my job. Telling the story of Jesus, calling people to the cross, calling them to have forgiveness of sins and join the family of God. I know how to do that. I can preach for salvation, and I can also preach to get folks serving. Now, I'm going to make an assumption, and I was told yesterday when I was at the International Mission Board that they'd had people saved right in these chapel services. I'm going to assume today that all of you know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. And so I'm not going to preach to get you saved. I'm going to preach to get you to serving. You see, I ask myself this question. Can an ordinary preacher go to the seminary and take an ordinary opportunity to talk to ordinary students to challenge them for an opportunity to serve the Lord in world missions as a lifetime vocation? I want to ask you this morning, is God dealing with you? Remember this. It is a high calling. For my dear friends, you follow as an opportunity in missions, the footsteps of the greatest Christian who ever lived. Just 6 weeks ago, it was my wonderful privilege, at your expense, to travel to Africa for 21 days. I left home. It was. You pay the bills. I never forget that. I'll always remember that those preachers in seminary classes who are pastoring these small churches and out-of-the-way places, you're doing the job. You're raising the money. You're sending the people. You're backing us up with prayer. And so I mean that when I say at your expense. But I left home, and I traveled some 26,000 miles all across the world and across Africa. In 21 days, I touched down in 17 different countries. I worked 12 hours a day. It was no perk. They really put me to work during those days. It was my joy and my privilege to see, to share, to preach, to witness, to prayer walk, to worship, and to encourage. You know what I found out I was doing? I think I was doing what the Apostle Paul was doing on his second and third missionary journeys. Not on his first, but on his second and third. I was out there saying, we can do it. It can be done. Go to it. Let's do the job. As I was out there, I needed an encouraging word. You don't go away from home to Africa. I can assure you of that for 21 days. That you're going to encourage others, that you don't need an encouraging word yourself. You know what I did? I found an encouraging word. Do you have any idea where I found it? I found it in the Word. It's a familiar one. It's not in Matthew 9. It's in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go out to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, that came out of God's Word. That was an encouraging word from the greatest encourager, the wonderful counselor, the man who is our Savior, who we call Jesus. I looked over in the book of Acts, chapter 1, in verse 8, and I read these words, that we're to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. On that journey, I found out what that meant. I stood with Paul Savage, great, big, godly missionary out there in Tanzania who lives in Musoma. And he said to me, Bill, you're in Musoma, Tanzania. You're at the end of the earth. You are about to fulfill the Great Commission. And then he said, if you're not at the end of the earth, you are near it. It's somewhere close by here. And so as I stood there, I realized that that which I read in Scripture was taking place. When I see men and women like Paul Savage there and then Jeff Singerman up there off the paved road in Benin, and I think we're going into all the world. Yesterday, I spent some time going over the applications for new missionaries. Five families who are going to Russia, one who's going off to China somewhere, going all over the world to take the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to every man, to every woman, to every boy, and to every girl. And I want to tell you, it is a privilege to serve as chairman of the Foreign Mission Board and have a part in sending to all the world the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. While I was out there, I began to think, is this just a journey of joy, or should I learn something along the way? And I found out there was something I could learn as I was going to the uttermost part of the earth, as I was going to preach the gospel to every creature. What did I learn? I learned this. I learned this, that God's love and God's grace are universal. Let me tell you about Africa. It is different. I've been to Asia. I've been to India. I've been to South America. But I want to tell you, I was not prepared for Africa. Africa is different. The sights of Africa are different. The sounds of Africa are different. The smells of Africa are different. Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that I think Africa stinks. I didn't mean that. I'm just saying that Africa was different. There's a lack of water. There's a lack of transportation. There's a lack of medical care. In general, it's just tough being out in Africa. Yet as I saw that place with its beautiful mountains in Tanzania and the great deserts of northern Africa to the metropolitan cities of South Africa, I realized that it was a nation that needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus had come to meet their need just like he had come to meet the needs of McAllen, Texas, or Wake Forest, North Carolina, or wherever it is that men live and are about their daily task. They need to hear the story of Jesus. And so I learned that when there's hopelessness and hurting, there's one answer to it all, and that answer is found in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, very, very contemporary. I don't know the hurt that is taking place in Littleton, Colorado today. Boy, I'll tell you, don't you know there's some brokenness, some sadness? But I want to tell you, the only hope that is there today is found in Jesus Christ. He loves men in Littleton, in Africa, or in Wake Forest, and he gives to them hope in the midst of a helpless hour. So I learned that regardless of where we go, the love of God is for all men. It's universal. It matters not what you look like, where you come from, or where you are. Let me tell you what else I learned. I learned that there are lost people who are interested in the message of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage some of y'all. I've been pastoring 30 years. I want to tell you, I've never pastored in a place where it wasn't tough. You ever hear somebody say, well, my church feels tough? I've pastored in Sulphur Springs, Texas. I really didn't pastor in Sulphur Springs. I pastored 6 miles from the post office out halfway between Sulphur Springs and Cooper to start out my ministry at the Greater North Hopkins Baptist Church. Let me tell you something about Greater North Hopkins. It was hard. I want you to know it was hard to reach people. When I left there, I went to Orlando, Florida. I pastored there in Orlando, in that booming city. But let me tell you something about Orlando. As many people as are coming, as dynamic as it is hard to win people to the Lord in Orlando, Florida. Well, I decided I'd just go to the buckle of the Bible belt, and so I went back home to Arkansas, where I was born. But you know what I found? I followed J. Harold Smith, one man removed. There was a sacrificial lamb between J. Harold and myself. Thank God for him. And I don't mean in any way to say anything but good things about J. Harold. I'm just thankful I didn't have to follow him directly. But I went to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Do you know what I found out about Fort Smith? It's hard to win people to Jesus in Fort Smith. You know what you have to do? You have to work at it. You have to determine you're going to seek to draw people to Jesus. It's not an easy field. I live on a mission field. I live on the very edge of the third world. Growing city, great church, but let me tell you, it is hard. It is hard everywhere I go. People are not interested. We don't have time. You know what I learned in Africa? There's some people who are interested. That's one of the reasons I'd challenge you for missions, because I'd say there's an opportunity out there. There are people out there who are hungry for the knowledge of the truth. They're happy to receive you into their village. They're ready to let you sit down and tell them the story of Jesus. And the wonderful thing about Africa is this: there are no atheists in Africa. In fact, they believe in God. They believe in all kinds of gods. Everything that moves, everything that's growing, is all God as far as they're concerned. But they always have a desire in their heart to see that big God. And guess who we have to tell them about? The big one, number one. He's the topper. All the others are false. There's no other God. People don't need another God when Jesus is the God that you love, when Jesus is the God that you serve. When you go out there on the mission field, let me tell you, there are some places where it isn't hard, where people are ready, where people are willing, and people are eager to hear and eager to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I learned. I learned something else from those dear African people. I learned that contentment is not what you have, but it is who you know. Everywhere I looked, I saw people who were poor. Everywhere I looked, I saw people who didn't have much. But not one time, mind you, not one time in 3 weeks did I hear somebody say they were discontent. Ralph Green, one of my former deacons who's right here, a student here, Brother Simmons, they've heard what I'm about to say. When you live down the Rio Grande Valley, people come down there from North Texas, and they're not down there long. They live in the big city of Dallas, and they come down there, and they're not down there a day or two. Then they say, I'll tell you, if I could just ever get out of this valley, I want to tell them, you can't get out of this valley quick enough. We don't need discontent people like you down here. Go on. Not one time did I hear anybody in the midst of discontentment out there. And what a wonderful place to serve in pastor churches where people are not discontent. My dear friends, they didn't want out of the valley. They were just glad to live one more day out of the valley of the shadow of death. Let me tell you what I learned in Africa. I learned this in Africa. I learned that believers can be generous even when they have little. Now listen to me, seminary students. Listen to me. I had a wonderful privilege today. I got ready to leave. I told the church Sunday I was going to be here today, and I was standing at the door shaking hands. I don't know where we got that custom, but we do it. Lady came to me, and she said, Pastor, would you take something to Ralph Green? Y'all don't understand some things. I don't like to take anything to anybody. I just travel light. I don't want to be encumbered by anything. And I said, yeah. And I could just see a box of Texas pink grapefruit. Now, that's exactly what I thought, or any some of those good 10, 15 onions we have that outdo those Vidalias down in Georgia. I guarantee you that. Amen and hallelujah. I could see me with that big 50-pound box. And I said, yes, I would. And so I said, I hope it's not big. She said, it's not big. It's just a check. Oh, my heart was thrilled. Oh, hallelujah, mind of glory. She gave me a check, said, give it to him. This morning, what a privilege it was for me when he met me. I gave him a check. I thank God for it. Somebody was generous. I want to tell you, I learned that it's not how much you have. I learned that it's not how much you make, my dear friends. But I learned that all of us, preachers of all people, we need to learn to be generous. After I'd spent about 3 hours preaching in a little church service, I went to the pastor's home to eat. Now, it wasn't pleasant. I won't tell you, it wasn't pleasant. I didn't want to eat. I'd rather have fasted. I wanted to tell him I'm really spiritual today, and I don't want to eat because it didn't look very appetizing. It was dirty, and it was impoverished. But I sat there and ate in his home as best I could. And then when we finished eating, we visited a while. Then we walked out to our four-wheel drive vehicle, and we were about to get in, and I saw that pastor coming out. He came out and he was holding 6 ears of corn. I said, what's that for? He said, it's a gift. I said, it's not for me. I don't need it. Don't want it. I ain't going to carry it. He said, no, it's not for you. It's for the missionary. It's just a token of his love and a token of his appreciation. Now, here's a guy who has subsistence living. He's not sure. They were walking 5 miles one way to get water in that village. He found some corn, he brought it, gave it to that missionary who I happen to know is well taken care of, because thank God Southern Baptists take care of our missionaries better than anybody else in all the world, and I'm thankful to God for that. But here was a poor, impoverished pastor who came and said, here's a gift. He was being generous, my dear friend. I want to tell you something. I learned that we can be generous regardless of our circumstances. And I want to challenge you, seminary students, now to start learning how to be generous. Don't be a taker. Be a giver. We ought to either be giving or forgiving, one or the other, but we always ought to be in the giving mode. What did I learn? You know what I learned? I learned that if you'll go as a missionary, we don't have to teach you a new message. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The message that is good for America is the message that is good for Africa. The message that is good for America is going to go with those people to Siberia that we worked on yesterday. The message that is good for Wake Forest is going to go for those people who are going to go to Hong Kong in just a few weeks. The message doesn't change. The message is Jesus saves. And when Jesus saves, he saves to serve. And I'm assuming you're saved. Now let's get to serving. You know what I learned? I learned this. I learned the gospel is the same for everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter what your station in life is. I wear a trophy on my arm. It's a Rolex President watch. Let me tell you something. This old boy didn't buy it. I'm too tight. Anybody that knows me would know I would not buy a watch like this. But I had a wonderful privilege. I led to the Lord the largest Rolex dealer in the United States. I led him to the Lord. Let me tell you how I led him to the Lord. I'd been to a conference where a Nazarene preacher told me something. He said, becoming a Christian is as simple as A, B, C. All you have to do is admit you're a sinner. All you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture and rose from the grave for our salvation. And then what you have to do is you have to confess it. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This man that I led to the Lord was a great sinner. He was as ungodly a man as I know. But I told him A, B, C, and guess what he did? He fell on his knees and said, Jesus, save this vile sinner. You see what I learned? That the gospel, simple and plain, will save a sinner. It'll save a rich American. But let me tell you what I learned in Africa. As I walked into a little church, here was a man I didn't even want to touch. He was leprous. He was poor. He was dirty. He was unkempt. But you know what I did? I told him, through a translator, if you're going to be a child of God, you've got to do three things. A, B, C. You got to admit you're a sinner. You got to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose for your salvation. And C, you got to be willing to confess it. Guess what that leprous man did? He acted upon what I told him, and what happened to him? He got saved the very same way that rich American who wears a Rolex, sells Rolexes, drives a Mercedes, and lives in a mansion. My dear friend, the gospel is the same for every man in every place. So you see, you don't have to learn a whole lot of new stuff. Let me tell you what I learned. I learned that you and I are part of a great missionary movement. A.W. Tozer said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan things we can do by ourselves. I thought of a young missionary by the name of Tiffany Taylor. Beautiful young girl from out in West Texas. She's serving the Lord there in Senegal. I came out one morning to go up to the desert, Senegal. She said, I'm going to take you in my pickup truck. I thought, what's this beautiful young girl going to do taking me in a pickup truck out over the Sahara Desert? But she took me out there. I began to talk to her about, what are you doing out here? Tiffany, aren't you fearful? Aren't you afraid to be out here? No, she said, this is where God's called me. This is where God's placed me. I looked at her and I said, Tiffany, do you ever give thought to getting married? She said, I have given thought to getting married. But she said, if God wants me to marry, God wants me to have a husband, then he's going to have to put Africa in the heart of some man, because this is where God's called me. This is where God's put me. This is where I'm going to serve. If he wants me to serve alone, I'm willing to do it. If he wants me to serve with somebody else, he's going to have to bring them to this very place. That's the kind of spirit that'll win the world to Jesus Christ. While I was there, I had to go over to Mozambique, and my wife was with me, and they wouldn't let her go over there, so they sent her on down into the southern part of Malawi. And so she got down there. We've been traveling at a record pace. And so she just told the missionary, she said, I am exhausted. I can't go anymore. He said, that's all right. You stay home. You stay with my wife. She'd like to be with you. My wife told me a story I had known but forgotten. She said, you know who I spent the day with? And I said, no. She told me who it was. She said, do you remember her? And I said, no, I don't remember her. She said, do you remember coming home from mission board meeting? And you said, Bill, there was a missionary out in the Tanzania. She was in her home one night, and her husband was there, and her children were there. And all of a sudden, somebody broke through the door, and three men came into that place. They tied up her husband, put him in another room. There was a child on the bed just above her. The other children were asleep, and those three men raped her over and over and over again. But guess what? After all of that, in a time of what we might call recovery, guess where she is? She's not in Tanzania, but she's back out there in Africa serving God and saying, I'll do what God wants me to do. This is where God called me. This is what my opportunity is. I want on the front lines. My dear friend, that's the kind of movement I want to ask you to join. Last Sunday, on television, they had what they call the NFL draft. I guess it was significant. I don't know. But I know this much. They drafted some to be offensive players and some to be defensive players and some to be special teams players. And I want to tell you what. There's a draft going on right now. There's a draft going on in this room. Here it is. God's calling some of you. Some of you he's calling to say, I'll go to the front lines. I want to be a church planter. I want to go out there on the edge. I want to go out there and push back the darkness. And I want to ask you, will you look at the draft and say, I'll go? Some of you will be defensive players and say, well, I'm not really good at penetrating the darkness, but I'll tell you, I can undergird a church and I can make it grow. And you need to do that. Some of you are special teams players. I'm a special teams player.
You say, what do you serve on the mission field? I'm serving in the capacity as a trustee and trying to give my very best to get the gospel as far out there as I can possibly get it. Now, what I want to ask you is this. Will you, my dear friend, hear God's call to be drafted into God's missionary army? Father in heaven, I ask you in Jesus' name today, Lord, to penetrate hearts, do a work in people's lives, call forth young people to go to be fishers of men. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Bill, for being with us this morning. Just reiterate his invitation. These are the days when you determine what God is calling you to do, not only for next year after graduation, but for a lifetime. And God can deal with you in that way and send you anywhere. Thank you, Brother Bill, for that great challenge to go to the mission field where people are responding even now. Just neglected a while ago to introduce his wife, Martha. She is with him here, and so, Martha, we're glad to have you with us here this morning. And also, Brother Bill's mom is here with us. She made the trip with her son and daughter-in-law. We're glad to have her and one of their church members there in McAllen, Sandra Yoder. She has made the trip as well. So we welcome these ladies to Southeastern Seminary as well. Glad you're here. And glad you were here as well. Remember, tomorrow is Giving Appreciation Day. I know that you have been your entire seminary career hoping that you would receive a Gideon Bible while you're at seminary. Well, tomorrow, Gideons from Raleigh will be right here, and they'll be at the steps of Binkley after the chapel, and they have to come to chapel to get the Bible after chapel. But as we leave, you'll be given a Gideon Bible, and of course that is not only for you, but to share around folks that you meet as well. It's a great witnessing tool. I had a Gideon go through the Plan of Salvation with me the other day in his Gideon Bible. It's a good witnessing tool, so you can use that. And be here tomorrow. Hear Mr. Wayne Epley to share some amazing stories about people who've been saved around the world as a result of that ministry. You are dismissed, and Brother Bill will be down here at the front.